2 Samuel 12, verses 1 through 9. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him, and he said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And he grew up together with him and with his children. He ate of his own food, he drank from his own cup, and lay in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon." The story, the account of David's sin with Bathsheba exposed by Nathan the prophet. We may wonder why the Lord waited to deal with David's sin. One answer may lie in the fact that David probably was not ready to be confronted when the sin was first committed. He might have rebelled at that time, caught up as he was in his pleasure and the cover-up. God confronted David, and he did so at the perfect time to secure the right response. God's timing is perfect. God will use the same tactics in your life and mine. We may feel like we're getting away with something for a time, but we need to be aware that God is working behind the scenes. David had thought he got away with something, but God was working behind the scenes, and when the time is right, he will confront our sins and call us back to him. By the way, let me remind you, people never get away with sin. Look at Numbers 32:23. "But if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." We have to realize that we're not getting away with anything. God gets around to dealing with us in his own timing, when he chooses to deal with the sin in our lives. Galatians 6, verse 7 says this, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Sometimes the crops come home to harvest early. Other times the crop takes a little longer. So it is with the Lord. He eventually gets around to dealing with us and our sin. In our text in 2 Samuel, God sends Nathan the prophet to confront David over his sin. Nathan respected David. He was the king. Nathan comes with a story about a rich man that had many sheep, who took the only lamb belonging to a poor neighbor to feed a man who was just passing through. Nathan emphasizes the fact that the poor man's lamb was precious to him and represented all that he had in the world. Verse 3 of 2 Samuel 12 tells us, but the poor man had nothing except. The poor man had nothing except. Had nothing except the lamb that was precious to him. And when David hears this story, he absolutely is livid in his anger. He demands that the rich man restore the poor man fourfold. And then he orders the rich man to be executed. Isn't it amazing that the man who excuses sin in his own life can be so harsh and so critical when dealing with sin in the lives of others? You ever notice how we judge other people with a very strict, very tight plumb line? But when it comes to our own sin, we kind of loosen that line up quite a bit. We don't judge our own sin the way we judge the sins of others. David hears the words that he never thought he would hear. Nathan looks at him and says, thou art the man. It's you, David. You took the only thing Uriah had in this life, and then you took his life. You had it all, but you wanted more. Thou art the man. David has been exposed. He's been found out. The sin that he was so careful to hide away is exposed for all to see. Very often, when you are a public figure, your sin is also exposed publicly. Take heed, all preachers, all pastors, you in the public eye, the thing you've done in secret will be brought out in the public. But in our text, David gives in to the sin of lust. He had given in to the sin of lust one evening, and it all come crashing down. One night of lust with a beautiful woman named Bathsheba. Now there is a price to pay. David thought he got away with something. And how often do we think that we're getting away with something? Never think for a minute that sin can be successfully hidden away forever. God knows exactly where it is buried. Turn to Hebrews 4, verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Brothers and sisters, we must give an account to God of every word, thought, and deed in our lives. God knows exactly where our sin is buried. He knows exactly where we are in our life. And when the time is right, he'll place his finger right on that sore spot. And he's going to press everything in your life the Lord gets around to. He will confront that hidden sin, and he will expose it for what it is. And that will be a shocking day in the life of the guilty party. That's why it's so important for us to keep short accounts with God. Even now, ask God, is there any charges against you? Even now. Lord, have I offended you at all? Father, is there any sin that I'm hiding in my life? For a long time, I pictured Nathan pointing his finger like a laser beam at David as he lifted his voice to yell, "Thou art the man!" But, you know, as I've gotten a little older and seen a lot more, I'm more inclined to think now that Nathan may have said those words with tears running down his face. Even now, as I say that, how often in 30-plus years as a believer I've had to say that to brothers and sisters, "Thou art the man, thou art the woman." I think Nathan was broken over the fact that he had to confront David. And how often should we be broken when we must confront one another in the body of Christ over their sin? For far too often it's easy to not do anything, to just walk away, turn a blind eye. The Lord will get around to dealing with that person, when in reality, the Lord is getting around to dealing with that person, and He uses you and I to confront that person over their sins. Just notice, there may come a day when you'll have to confront sin in someone's life. In the course of my ministry, I've had to do that. And if that day comes, don't do it in anger or in self-righteousness. You must always do it in the spirit of love with the broken heart, realizing that if it were not for the grace of God, it could be you who was being confronted. The tables could be turned, and somebody could be coming to you, "Thou art the man." Always keep in mind Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in," notice, "a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Notice, bear one another's burdens. Not shove it down their throat. "You're the man." But with a spirit of gentleness and tenderness. Nathan confronts David. Was it self-righteously? Or was it with a broken heart? If we have to confront our brothers and sisters, and the time will come that you have to confront your brother or sister about a particular sin, let us do it in the spirit of gentleness. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. May we take that warning from Paul in Galatians very serious. May we never forget that we also are sheep.